Well, good evening. It's going to be really good tonight. You know, as the ladies were did a conference on Go Beyond. Well, what the Lord's given me, the way to bring this is, I've never preached like this before, so it's going to be me going beyond as well. But I'm looking forward to it. Hallelujah. Oh, lovely. Father, we do come and bring your holy word before you. Father, I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for your anointing upon each and every one of us. Thank you for filling us with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of revelation tonight. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious, wonderful name. Amen. I love what Pastor Andrew shared this morning about Jonah. And he said, the book's not about the whale and Jonah. It's about what God's like. Have I got this one right? It's what God's like. And I thought, I needed that. That's exactly what I needed to help me to get going tonight. Because tonight we're gonna learn a parable, the parable of the unmerciful servant. And I just want to say this parable, or this word of God, the Bible, this parable has the heartbeat of a father in it. It has the heartbeat of Jesus. Now, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking to Christians. So we need to get our ears on what he's going to say tonight, okay? Because he's not talking to unbelievers, he's talking to born-again people. And when I read it, I can feel his heartbeat going, boom, boom, boom. You can feel the heartbeat of a father in it saying, children, listen to what I'm going to say, because this is very important in our Christian life. If we Christians had a toolbox, one of the things that we're going to learn about tonight would be one of the most powerful tools that we could carry in our toolbox as Christians. And if we don't carry it, it could be sad, because the opposite to what I'm going to talk about tonight is the most destructive power Satan could ever put on our lives. Amen? I am not a very good reader, so be merciful to me. I should get someone up who can read it, actually, but then I'll have a crack. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began to settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and begged and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. The other servants saw what had happened. They were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay it all that he owned. This is how my heavenly Father will treat you, each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Now, I've been reading this parable over and over again so I can get it in my heart. And I've titled tonight's message, At the Crossroads, Which Way Will You Go? Now, in our lives, we're all going to face crossroads. And this crossroad that we're going to talk about tonight is unforgiveness or forgiveness. Which way will you go? Okay? And as sure as God made apples, we're all going to come along a crossroad sooner or later. And if you're sitting there and said, well, I haven't actually experienced, I don't need to forgive, I haven't, that hasn't happened to me. Well, as sure as our dear Lord made apples grow on a tree, it's going to happen one day. It will happen. It will happen. You're going to come across a crossroad that you're either going to forgive or not forgive. Okay. What is forgiveness? The act of pardoning a person in spite of their slights, shortcomings, and errors. Forgiveness is treating someone better than they deserve. Right. The first lesson from this parable is forgiveness is giving without a limit. Now, I want to say this. Jesus makes it very clear, we need to forgive others as Christ forgave us. Now, this is, I'm saying to this now because I'll bring it up every now and then. We need to forgive others as Christ forgave us. And we need to love others as Christ loved us. Now, we're talking to Christians. This is Christ talking to his disciples. And, you know, sometimes we find it hard to forgive. Any rate, forgiveness is giving without a limit. The king made a present of the whole amount of the debt to the official. He gave the whole, all that amount that that official owed him, the king let him go. He didn't say, you pay half, you pay quarter, and I'll let you go. He didn't. There is no limit to the king's forgiveness. He let the whole thing go. That official managed to keep his wife, his children, and all that he had. That was massive. If you think about it, that was massive. The king could have said, you pay three quarters and I'll let you off, mate. You know, good on you. Nice one. But he didn't. He didn't. He let him off all. And the same thing with Christ. When Christ went to the cross, now this is something, I used to struggle with this, and you'll hear it later on, but I want to say this. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, he took all of our sins to the cross with him. The ones you committed before, the ones you commit now, and the ones that you commit after have all been forgiven. We should be the happiest people on the face of the earth, really. We shouldn't be carrying guilt or anything like that because we've been forgiven. Oh, no limit, no limit, no limit. Jesus didn't have a limit. I'll do it for 10 years and after that you're whacked. You're sorry. That's it. You're done. If you die within that period, you're okay. He didn't do that. All people, all your sins. You go home tonight and you commit a sin. You might back your car into the shed or something. And you'll turn around and say some rhubarb or carrot or potato or sausage or something. That's been forgiven. All God wants for us to do is say, Lord, please forgive me for I've sinned against you. But we've been forgiven. Oh, no limit, no limit, no end. All been forgiven. Think about that. It's powerful when you think about it. 1 Peter 2:24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Now, what I'm going to do tonight is blend a little bit of my life story with this message. My son's now 42, I think. Something like that. All my kids are in their 40s anyway. And him and I, we must have been going to church. He must, because I know he gave his heart to the Lord at the time. And we were doing dishes at my place, and he come up to me, and I don't know how the subject ever got going. And he said to me, Dad, I forgive you for everything except one thing. And I'm like, wow. we're doing the dishes, and I didn't ask him what the one thing was. I didn't dare ask him, eh? And I said to him, thank you, son, but no. I can't accept that. You either forgive me for everything or don't forgive me at all. Go away and think about it. So off he goes, and about an hour or so later, he come back. And he said, "Dad, I forgive you for everything." And I still don't know what that one thing was. I won't ask him. But anyway, he said, "Dad, I forgive you for everything. And I want to say this to you. This is why I'm saying it's the most powerful tool that we've got. One of the most powerful tools." At that very moment, at that very, very moment, something happened between me and my son. All of a sudden, I become dad, and he become my son. For 23 years, we never bonded, and I'll tell you why. My son was so small, he was very quickly born, before you could even catch him, actually. And they took him off to Karatani. There's a hospital called Karatani at that time. And they took him off there. And one day we went to visit him, and this nurse handed me a nappy with something in it. And all I could see was this little head, two arms and two legs inside a nappy. And she said, "Here, Mr. Smith, here's your son." I said, "No, I'll break him. I'll hurt him if I hold him." And I didn't hold him. I told her to go away. What I didn't realize at that time, I had broken a bond that bond would never happen between me and my son. And it took 23 years before I could actually say, "This is my son." He could say, "You're my dad." We were, you know what unforgiveness brings? And what happened to him, unforgiveness came in his heart. We couldn't bond properly. Like father and son, we were scrapping like mad. And we just, it just never happened. And it was heartbreaking. But at any rate, what happened? Unforgiveness brings separation. You cannot get close to somebody when you've got unforgiveness. This jolly pain of bitterness and anger comes in you. And my son rebelled at everything I said. Man, but the day that he said to me, "Dad, I forgive you for everything you've done," I was a shocking father, because I was carrying unforgiveness to my mother, which you'll hear in a minute. And all of a sudden, we began to love each other. We gave each other a man hug, you know, a real good man hug. And to this day, I don't agree with everything he says, and he doesn't agree with everything I say, but I'll tell you what, you couldn't put a pin between us. We're solid as a rock together now. And that was the power of forgiveness. In this parable, Jesus is trying to get across to us the most powerful thing you can do, people, is to forgive. Don't hang on to it. Let it go. Don't hang on to it. Even if someone says, "Oh, you bleep, bleep, bleep," you know, and it hurts you, turn around. Now, listen, people, we are human beings. We've got emotions. We're not spiritual giants at times. Sometimes we're like human beings, and it hurts. And you go home. What I normally do is I go home and I empty myself. I say, "God," I go in my bedroom, I lock the door, and I say, "Lord, I'm hurt. I'm angry with what that person said to me. And Lord, I'm coming to you because I need to see them. But Lord, can you get rid of this? And can you go before me to touch that person's heart before I get there?" And every time I've done that, it's been beautiful. It's been beautiful. Forgiveness is powerful, especially amongst brothers and sisters. Why give the devil a foothold? Why let him wreck your life? Oh, what am I doing? Okay. Oh, jumping ahead, you see. Psalms 103, verse 3a. God forgave all of our sins. Now, here's point two. Forgiveness is offered in order that fellowship may exist. Remember, we're talking about Christians with Christians, all right? Now, many years ago, my mum gave her heart to the Lord, and she was a tough cookie, man. She was a tough cookie. And she prayed me in, and many years later, I gave my heart to the Lord. And we were going to the AOG church, and we used to have the fellowship in the, I think they call it the Moira Hall. Yeah. Mum would sit one side of the church, I'd sit the other side. I just absolutely couldn't get on with my mum. I had so much bitterness and unforgiveness, I couldn't relate to it. I was separated from my mum. In fact is, in all honesty, I was a nasty son to her because I had this bitterness and unforgiveness. Even when I gave my heart to Jesus, I still had that backpack on my back. But the Lord was more interested in having a fellowship with me than he dealt with this. And anyway, I'm sitting in church. Mum goes down on the altar call. And I see her walking down. And blow me down, there's a gap there beside her. And no one filled that gap, did they? There was, it was there. And I'm sitting in church like, and the Lord said to my heart, go down by your mother and forgive her for the mother she's been and ask her to forgive you for the son you've been. Guess what my reply was to the Lord? You've got to be joking. And I really meant it. I really meant it. And I sat there and very gently the Lord said to me, Barry, nice and soft, if you don't go down, you will go no further in me. This is where you'll stay and that'll be it. Now, I came to a crossroads. Forgiveness and unforgiveness, when you come to do that, you come to a crossroad. And I'm sitting in my seat like, do you have to really do this? Anyway, forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling. If I felt like it, I would never have gone down. Forgiveness is a choice. And I come to that crossroad. And I had to either choose this way, forgiving my mum, or that way, living in unforgiveness like I was. I went down, praise God, I went down to my mum. I looked up at mum, and I says, because no one filled that gap, did they? I looked up at mum, and I says, Mum, I forgive you for the mother you've been to me. And she looks at me, and I said, but will you please forgive me for the horrible son I've been to you? Now, this is what happened. I heard this, like that, and mum said, yes. And this, it was like a chain breaking, steel breaking. And there was a loud bang. I heard it. And all of a sudden, that bitterness, that hatred that I had for mum, that anger, that separation, and that disrespect and disloyalty to my mum fell to the ground and whipped away, vanished. And all of a sudden, from that moment on, mum and I started developing a relationship. We started treating each other like mother, like mother and son. It was awesome. I started respecting her, and on her deathbed, I was there when she died, and I was singing in her ear. I knelt on the floor, and I was singing her songs, and tears were coming out of her. She was gone, you know, like, but I know hearing's the last thing to go. Tears were coming down her face, and I said, Mum, is it my singing or the songs that are making you cry? But she couldn't answer, but tears were coming down. And Mum and I had a real relationship. The last 3 years of her life, I fell in love with my mum, and I honoured my mum. Dare anybody say anything about my mum, I'd jump on their back. But before I join them, I'm trying to say this parable is so powerful. We've got to live it, people. We've got to do it. We've got to forgive. Don't hold grudges. Don't look at someone and have these horrible feelings. At any rate, forgiveness opens door, as I said. My mother and I absolutely had a wonderful relationship. 3 years, that's all I had with her. But man, they were blessed. Okay, another lesson, number three, forgiveness is costly. It costs to forgive. I'm going to use Pastor Andrew now. I'll have a little drink first, Andrew. Now, follow me here, people. Andrew gave me $1,000. Bless you, brother. What? Bit my wallet. And I couldn't pay it back. I couldn't pay it back. And Andrew would come into church and he'd greet everybody, hello, hello, and he'd see me walk through the door, hello, hello, and he'd kind of like, and I'd see Andrew and I'd go, hello, like this, and what's come between us is a separation, and Andrew's still sort of getting, I really need that money, I really wish Barry would pay that money, and I'm thinking, I really wish Andrew would go in the rapture or something, you know. At any rate, Andrew goes home and he sits in his lazy boy chair. Have you got one? No. Okay. He sits in a chair at home. And God begins to bring him to a crossroad. God begins to bring Andrew to a crossroad. And the Lord speaks to Andrew's heart, you've got to forgive Barry and let it go. Forgiveness is costly. Let him have that $1,000 and let it go. Because you want to have peace, health, joy, and the Holy Spirit. So next Sunday comes, Andrew's greeting everybody. Hello, God bless. And he sees me walk in the door. And I didn't know he's done this, you see. And I go, ooh. And I look for an alleyway like, very quick. And Andrew's coming at me, and I'm going, nah! And he's walking to me. And he comes up and he says, Barry, I forgive you. I forgive you for that $1,000. You can have it. I want a relationship with you. You're my brother. I don't want any of this between us. I do not want Satan to come between us. I do not want to give him a foothold. I love you, Barry, and I want a relationship. I want a brotherly love with you. And what happens from that moment on, Andrew gets peace, his life changes, and so does mine. It does me too, because I'm challenged by what he said. I'm challenged by what he said. And all of a sudden, I fall in love with Andrew as a brother. And it's like a bond comes. You know what's missing in the church? Unity sometimes. If Satan can put a spoke in the wheel, he can destroy it, try and destroy a church. We've got to learn to forgive. And if someone says something nasty, go home, empty yourself out, ask God to fill you. Ask God to speak to that person's heart and then go and talk to them. And I'll tell you, it stops the enemy from ruining a church. Yeah. I was running a church within a church, and the church I was in before this one, it was called 60 Minutes. And we were marrying a couple and it didn't happen. They separated. Kind of like, you know, like parted. And I got up and I said to the congregation, I do not want to hear one tongue talk against these people. I do not want to hear it. If you're going to say something, come to me or my wife, but don't go to them or don't go to another person, because if you do, you're giving the devil a foothold and you're going to bring disunity and that kind of thing into the church. Well, they didn't. And I'll tell you what, it grew. What we were building grew. Strong, very strong. So forgiveness is costly. It costs the king everything, all that money. But here's something. What did it cost God? What did it cost God to forgive us? His son. Forgiveness is not cheap. It's got a cost to it. Andrew lost $1,000, mate. Andrew lost $1,000. It cost him $1,000, but the forgiveness was far more to him than $1,000. Amen? Is this good or what? All right. But you know who else paid a price? Jesus. It cost him. And I never thought about it until I was sitting in my bedroom at home. And all of a sudden my eyes, I thought, wow, not only did God pay the cost, it cost God his son. But you know what it cost Jesus? My God, why have you forsaken me? Our sins that he took upon himself at the cross, and our diseases and our infirmities became a separation between him and his dad. He loved his dad. He had unity with his dad. They were one. And all of a sudden it was broken for a while. That's what it cost Jesus. To have that moment of brokenness between him and his dad. That's what it cost him. So I remember someone said to me once, why should I forgive that person? Because they've won. They've won. They've done this to me, but they got away with it. Well, no, they haven't, actually. You know, it's far better. And that person today still, in all honesty, I know them very well because one's my granddaughter, they still have bitterness towards their mum. And it's ruining her life. And yet we've been talking to her about forgiving her mum. And I can understand why she's struggling. But if she doesn't, it's affecting her life. And she's a beautiful girl. But I can't make her. It's got to be her decision. Amen? Accepting forgiveness from God is number four. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever struggled to actually accept forgiveness from God? I have. Especially when I first became a Christian, I was dealing with five addictions in my life. And they were huge mountains of things. I came from a really rotten background, and you had to survive and do all sorts to live, otherwise you're a dead person. And anyway, I came into Christ with all this baggage. And over the years, God managed to get rid of four of them, praise God, but there was one I struggled with. And I was an alcoholic too, so when I gave my heart to the Lord, so alcohol was one of them, the biggest one. And I couldn't keep away from this stuff. I kept going back and I kept saying, sorry, Lord. But in the end, I felt I couldn't understand how God could forgive me when I'm going back doing the same thing over and over again. Now, I know he can now, but then I got so guilty and convicted, I walked away from God. And I went home and I just stayed home. I walked away for a year, backslid, if you want to call it that. And but praise God, I didn't go back to my other addictions. Praise God for that. But I could feel this fire burning in my belly. And you remember the old milk bottles, glass milk bottles? This is stupid, I know. There's my milk bottles. I used to go outside to get them, and I'd put something over my head so Jesus couldn't see me. And I'd turn around and grab my milk bottles and run back. But now I think, how stupid. But that's the place I was in. I was so ashamed, but I didn't realize, but that little fire, that little flame just kept burning in my spirit. And the young man that I brought to the Lord, a year later, come to me, and he brought me back to the Lord. And that was awesome. That was humbling, I'll tell you that. And I came back to the Lord, and I realized that God does forgive every time we fail. If you're a young person or old person or any kind of person, here tonight, and you keep falling over, whatever you do, don't let the devil put deceitful, negative lies in your head. You are forgiven. You just repent of it. I couldn't walk past the pub. I couldn't walk past the bottle store. My bedroom had bottles underneath. My drawers had bottles in it. If there was a hole in the wall, I shoved the bottle in it, you know. It was terrible. I wake up in the morning, go to work. Go home at lunchtime, go back to work. I just couldn't keep away from the stuff. But praise God, I got alcohol poisoning. And I said to the Lord, I won't touch any more if you let me live. And the doctor was giving me, So I don't touch it now. I haven't had a drink for a while. Yesterday, no. Haven't had a drink for a long time. The gap got bigger and bigger and bigger. But I want to say to you people, and anyone who's listening later on in life, if you're struggling with addictions, don't walk away from God. Cry out to Him. My wife could hear me at 2 o'clock in the morning punching the floor in the lounge, bawling my eyes out, saying, God, kill me. Why don't you kill me? Because I'm no good at any rate. And I didn't think she could hear me. And about 10 years later, she said, I heard you in the lounge in our house. I went, what? And because I felt so helpless. But God didn't kill me as I'm here. But what he did is he killed the thing that was killing me. He got rid of that. Hallelujah. So, please, do not ever let Satan put in your head that God cannot forgive. Nothing's only unforgivable sin. But other than that, evil, no sin's too great for God to forgive. Amen? So if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, just keep crying out to God, repent, and I'll tell you what, you'll find your gaps will get until it's vanished. Right. Nearly coming. In Luke 15:20, I love this. We know the prodigal son. He wished his father dead, took half of the inheritance, and left. Now think about that for a minute. He wished his father dead because he couldn't get the money unless his father had died. He took the money and left. Now, I want you to see the heart of God again, as you can see it through this parable. The father never stopped looking for his son. When my mum became a Christian, she never stopped praying for me. I'd be out in the bush working with all these fellas. We're all and hard men in those days. And I'd open the mail and a track would fall to the ground of the truck, about three tracks. And the fellas would have a look. And I'm going, oh! And I go, you know, put on this big hero flipping thing. And then I'd go home in my little hut and I'd read them. My mum actually won me to the Lord through her prayers and her evangelism. She was a preacher. Man, she was a preacher, my mum. She was good. And it was her. I'm here today because of my mum praying me in. Now, anyway, this father kept watching out for his son. And one day at the distance, he saw his son. Did you know that father had forgiveness in his heart straight away? Even when the son did it, he was hurt. He was a human being. He felt the pain. He felt the agony. He cried because he didn't, you know, how come you come like that, boy? But he had forgiveness, and he saw his son coming, and he took off, and he ran to his son, and he grabbed him, and he kissed him, and hugged him, and did all this kind of thing. That's what Jesus did to us. When I backslid, and God brought this young fellow that I brought to the Lord, really what happened was Jesus never let me go. That little fire burning in my belly was the Holy Spirit. Jesus saying, I still love you, mate. Snap out of it. Get on your feet. He still loved me. And that when that father ran to his boy and hugged him and kissed him, you can feel the daddy's heart. I've never had a father. I don't know what fathers do. I don't know what you're supposed to do. I've learned now because of Arthur and my other kids, but I made a mess of them, by the way, because I didn't know what a father did. But I do know one thing. When I read this, I could feel my heart just going boom, boom. And I could feel the love and the forgiveness that dad had for his boy. And yet unsaved people would most probably get rid of them, turn their back on their son, but not this father. And that's what God is like with us people. He'll run after you, grab you, and give you a big kiss and a hug. He won't spit on the ground and put clay in your eye. Sorry, Lord. The last one, accepting forgiveness from God cannot be separated from offering forgiveness to other people. It's the same thing. As God forgave us, we must forgive one another. As God loved us, we must love one another. Have that respect and honor for each other. And here's the last thing I want to say. Oh, I'll find it somewhere, the pages I'm in. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, and they're nailing him to the cross, he said seven words. But there's only one word I want to say that he said first of all, before any of the other six words, while they were nailing him to the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. That's how important forgiveness is to our dad. That's how important. He could have said other things, but he didn't. That was the first word out of the seven words he spoke. That was the number one word. The first word he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. That's how powerful forgiveness is. If Jesus put it into action, then we need to do that too. That's powerful, isn't it, really, when you think about it? If someone was nailing me to a cross, I'd be kicking and screaming and doing all sorts of things. But no, Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Now, this word that you've got tonight, God gave it to me. And it was through that Pastor Joe, I think they called that lady that in the Sunday service that spoke first. I've been sick. Andrew came up to me and he said, I'd like you to preach on. So I go, yeah. I had nothing. I went, oh. So I hopped in my car and I'm going, Lord, help me. And for a whole week I was praying, nothing. And I'm saying, knock, 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 knock. Anyway, I came to church on Sunday and Pastor Joe was preaching on forgiveness. And it hit me like a heat wave, woof, in there. And I thought, yeah, that's it. Anyway, by the time I got home and later on that evening, I lost that seed, I lost it. And so I kept praying, and then I went to the group, a group we have here on a Tuesday morning. And I went home after the group, and I locked the door. And I said, Dear Lord, and I stood with my back against the wall, and I says, excuse me, Dad, I've got my back against the wall, and I'm really wanting to know what you want to say to the church and to people. And he said, forgiveness, Barry, forgiveness. So that's why you got it tonight, because God wanted to say to us the power of forgiveness, and the power of unforgiveness is destructive. It destroys, and it just kills your life. Okay, can we all stand? Do you want to play that thing? Would that be all right? Well, keyboard. Now, I'm not going to ask you to come forward. That's entirely up to you. I'm not going to do that. If you want to come forward and have prayer, that's fine. It's got to be your choice. It's your crossroad. It's your choice. But what I do want to do is I want to pray that if any of us are struggling with that kind of thing, or one day it will happen in our life, that we will not allow it to consume us. We will deal with it. Amen? But if you want prayer, you're very welcome to come down. Andrew and myself and others will pray for you. But I just want to pray. Dear Lord Jesus, forgiveness to you is very, very powerful. Lord God, you said it as they were nailing you to the cross. You've made parables to teach us. Lord God, and you're talking to us. You're talking to born-again believers, because you know the destructive power of the enemy when it comes to unforgiveness and what he can do to our lives. But Lord, what you can do to our lives when we forgive from the heart is absolutely out of this world. The peace of God, the joy of God, the health, Lord, that comes into our life, and the relationships that come into our life, especially with you, Lord God, is absolutely awesome. And I pray for anyone here, Lord God, or for all of us here tonight, that if we are in that journey of coming to that crossroads, or Lord God, if we've already done it, but or it's never happened, but one day it will, I pray that we will not forget that parable, Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 35. Lord, that we will not forget to go and have a look at that. And I thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. I thank you what you've done in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Pastor Andrew.